Hold on, my mic is complete. My mic was facing the ground, bro.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, is this Papa John's?
No, this is just John's. Papa got removed.
Papa got removed. Okay, dang. Yeah. So you see, thing is, I was calling y'all to see if y'all had the number to Baba John's.
Baba John's. Let me just check real quick. 1 second.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
We got the number to Baba John's? Huh? Nah, I left it out back. Nah, yeah. Nah, I was telling Ricky that same damn thing, bro. All right. I'll fuck with you then.
So who is this again?
Oh, me. I see. I don't know.
Yeah, we close.
Oh. All right. Well, if y'all get the number to Baba John's, could y'all call me back? Yeah, my number is 404-369.
What we're not going to do is call you back.
But can I?
We're not going to do. Hey, I'll see you later, Ricky. Come on, man. You know? Sorry. What we're not going to do is call you back, though.
Can I get your little wacky digits, though? On the back?
On the back of what?
On the back of your credit card?
Oh, yeah, you can have those.
All right. I'm listening.
000.
All right. Thanks. Well, I'm still going to keep looking for Baba John's, but thank you so much for your help, and I guess I'll talk to you later.
What are you going to do with them digits?
I guess I'll talk to you later.
What are you going to do? All right, Ricky, I'll talk to you later, man. Have a good one. I thought you left already, but sorry, man. What are you going to do with those digits?
Wait, Ricky's leaving?
You know Ricky?
Yeah, me and Ricky, we used to go back, you know. I was hoping he would be the one to answer this.
Is this you? Stevie B's.
Shit. See, I know I'm a little bit of a local legend around those parts. Yeah, I didn't want to give my name, you know what I'm saying?
I know that voice anywhere, bro.
Thank you. But you didn't. So why did you ask who I was?
You know, it's just a polite thing to do.
You know what?
Like, you know when your mom calls and you're like, hello? Like, why are you saying hello? You know it's your mom, but...
Okay. I guess I get it. Because I was really about to rip you a new one. Because anybody who answers the phone and doesn't know Stevie B's gets these fucking hands, you know?
Stevie, you lost your hands in the war. What are you talking about, man?
I got robot arms. You ain't never seen you ever seen Jax from Mortal Kombat?
this is just going too long, bro. What are we, crank shit. Anchors in this bitch?
You already know. We should do improv, bro. We should make our own improv troupe. We should be talking this bullshit.
Started the player improv group.
Holy shit. I'm here for it.
I'm ready for it, man. You know what I'm also ready for? This damn show.
Let's do it.
All right. That's enough for the pre-show. That's all we need to do. All right, let's sync up then. All right, 3, 2, 1. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to episode 147 of the Player Podcast. Before we get started, I want to give a big thank you to the both old and new additions to our crew tuning in to listen to us do what we do. And what's that, Arson?
Talk about Jiminy Jubity's video games.
Talk about Jump Jubity video games. Every Thursday of every week, we gather around the virtual water cooler to discuss video games and the culture surrounding them. I'm your host, Joseph Hooper, a.k.a. the Hoop Man, along with my co-host, the Jump Man himself, Arsene Lakpa.
Jump Man. That boy's up to nothing. Cause I'm just up to nothing, y'all. You know, my life is just is it a slow spiral?
Not a spiral. I hope it's a spiral up.
You right, baby. It's a spiral up. Let's we going go. Straight to the moon, baby. Just like Dogecoin, we up and just up, like jumping up and up. So.
I was listening to, I was watching an episode of, you heard of Dave Ramsey?
Yes, I know of him.
I was watching a YouTube video today, and this man was talking about all my coworkers are invested in Dogecoin. I was like, holy shit. Nah. Who's this boomer calling in right now?
They didn't get him set before the show?
It wasn't Dave Ramsey. It was whoever was calling in.
Of course,
Dave Ramsey probably don't know what damn Dogecoin is either.
True.
But he was like, should I invest in Dogecoin? I'm like, not if you're pronouncing it like that, sir.
Yeah, if you don't even know how it's pronounced, you might as well just stay away. He probably don't even know how to invest.
You might as well stay away anyway. It's better that you don't invest.
Facts. Save yourself. Wait a minute. How do you invest in? Nah, I'm not going to get it. I don't want to influence nobody by.
I mean, yeah. You know, we ain't giving that information out on this podcast. We're not going to be culpable for you losing everything.
Yeah.
For you losing your house.
What you should invest in is a nice little TV to watch Jujutsu Kaisen the whole season again.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Go ahead and rewatch it, bro. While you still got time, go ahead and rewatch Jujutsu Kaisen. It's on another level. And while you're at it, watch Invincible after that. Ooh. You don't need a good TV for that one, though, because the animation, you could watch that shit on one of them 2005 TVs, CRTs.
Watch it on your iPod Touch.
And it'll still be the same quality. How's life going, my guy?
You know, man, life is pretty damn good. You know, for once, I finally have an update that I think is worth a damn. You know, typically I'm always you know, I'm vibing. You know, I'm at Trader Joe's. You know, but the people, right. I know you guys are getting sick of that. So this past weekend, your boy took his girl to Chateau Elan, a prestigious resort / winery. Here in Georgia, because it was her birthday.
I feel like I've heard of that on the radio.
You might have. Chateau Elan.
Wait, it was her birthday?
It was her birthday, April 18th.
Oh, shit. Let me get out the goddamn sound effects.
Yeah, get the birthday air horns going. Yeah, and also play that cha-ching sound a lot, because, yeah, we were racking up bills, you feel me, you know, over at Chateau Elan. But... You know, it was a good time. I thought the winery itself was pretty lit. We did a wine tasting. This is the second time I've done a wine tasting, but it still just baffles me because I just think, wow, I feel like such an old man going around tasting wines and shit. Like who does that? I would never imagine myself doing this 5 years ago. But, you know, here I am, lo and behold, tasting wines with my boo thing. And we had a good-ass time just sipping on some white wine, some red wine, dessert wines. And, you know, by the end, you feeling a little tipsy. That's seven little sips of wine that you done had. I'm sitting here just outside vibing. I'm laughing, just giggling. I'm about to fall over and shit. You know, it was a fun-ass time. And then the hotel room that we stayed a night there at the resort. The hotel was very nice. We watched the X Games, you know, typical hotel activity. Shout out my boy, what was his name? I think it was Yoto. I forgot his last name, but shout out Yoto. He came out with a dub in the men's snowboarding. So I just wanted shit, it was lit, bro. Like, you know, I don't really follow sports like that, especially not the X Games. But these motherfuckers were doing flips and twisting their bodies all types of ways. I was like, nah, this man got to get a shout out on the podcast. He's got to get one. So if there's any reason why you are listening to this podcast, bro, just know we're the Yoto podcast right now, just for this current segment. Additionally,
Move on, I do want to say shout out to, you know, winter sports, because like you, there's typically no reason I'm ever watching winter sports.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and again, you know, Winter Olympics, X Games, you somehow stumble on the channel.
Right.
They be doing some clean stuff.
Right, okay. Right.
Y'all be flying high. I'll be flying high, flipping 10, 12 times, and putting your lives on the lines for our entertainment. I appreciate that.
I need to see more of this. I want to see more of this stuff, like, you know, in the mainstream media. You know, but
what does that mean?
Like, I just want to see more.
You want to see it get more spotlight?
Yeah, I want to see it get more spotlight. Okay. I guess is what I'm trying to say. Because it is very cool. These are all very cool little sports that they got going on. Other than that, we also had a nice little breakfast the next day, you know, rise and grind, get your free complimentary breakfast. I had the steak and eggs, you know, so here's the, you know, I know it sounds like, you know, it sounds like a very boring thing, but I got a little story about these little steak and eggs, right? Okay, so I'm sitting here, people at the front desk, they told us, yeah, so breakfast is complimentary. I'm like, all right, bet. I'm assuming it's like, you know, your little typical breakfast bars, maybe a little buffet type deal.
Continental looking.
Yeah, continental looking thing. I should have known better because we're at the Chateau Elan. They got us at, we're basically at a whole entire restaurant in the inside of the hotel. I go, I'm like, what should I order? I see steak and eggs. Tell me how, I want you to tell me how much you thought these steak and how much you think steak and eggs are worth. How much you think it would cost?
Steak and eggs. I mean, we're talking high class. Steak
we're
is
talking high class. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Steak is quite expensive. So, it's also breakfast though. So I say $45.
Okay. All right. All right. All right. I guess also you do have Seattle brand as well. But these eggs were $40. Their steak and eggs were $40. And I and I'm like, this is the most expensive thing on the menu. What are we doing here, y'all? Why is steak and eggs $40? And let me tell you,
yes,
they brought these steak and eggs out, and I was severely underwhelmed. It was definitely not. It was good. I'm not gonna sit here and bash they steak and eggs and say, oh yeah, they were dog shit. They were good, but if you're talking about $40, I better be for steak and eggs. This steak better be, you know, completely perfect. I asked for a medium.
Absolutely.
Why am I getting this shit well? Tell me that. Yeah, tell me that, chef. Yeah. Come on, chef. Come out here. So, you know, the breakfast. So,
who's eating steak and eggs for breakfast?
Motherfuckers that's trying to maximize their complimentary breakfast voucher. That's me.
So the steak and eggs was free, but it said $40 on the thing.
Right. So, like, since this is a restaurant, you know, if you wanted to, you could just roll in and cop some steak and eggs if you wanted to for some reason. And then you'd have to pay $40. But me, I paid for the hotel room. So now I had to. I got my steak and eggs for free. So, I guess obviously I cannot complain really, but you know I'm still gonna complain a little bit. And then the last little thing I want to mention about Chateau Elan. Back in the day when we were a little bit younger, did you go on Vine? Were you would you consider yourself a Vine connoisseur?
Yeah, I'm no Vine expert over here. I'm
Vine, Vine expert.
Historian.
Okay.
But I did go on it.
Did you follow, like, you know, any, like, the black creatives on there? Like, you know, any black content creators?
I mean, I follow, you know, King Batch. I don't know if you count, bro.
All right. Never mind that. Because, like, I did see a big, I won't say a big Viner, but, like, this one, like, black dude from Vine named Hampton. You might be able to look him up. He's Hampton _ on Instagram. We saw him at the Chateau Elan, right at the front. I was like, oh, shit, it's Hampton. But obviously, you know, Angelique didn't know. And then I really wasn't trying to make no scene. So I didn't say a word to him. I just let it slide. I just wanted to be chill because, you know, the boy Hampton, he was funny back in his prime. You know, I don't really follow him like that anymore. But, you know, shout out Hampton one time. I'm not saying you fell off. I'm just saying, like, you know. Where the content at, bro? No, I'm playing with you. I'm just playing. I did not recognize this man. You don't recognize this man? Okay. But I saw the homie there, and I was like, all right, bet. And, yeah, that was the weekend. You know, I kind of went off on a long little tangent, but it was a great time. I highly recommend folks going, at least for the wine tasting, because they got some good-ass wines. We ended up copping 4 bottles that we brought home. That's how good the wine was, so... We are going to have a nice little fun couple of nights here back here in Atlanta with our little Chateau Elan wine.
Okay.
But yeah, man. How about you? How was your week treated you?
Week treated me pretty decent.
Excellent.
I'm trying to think. I guess I got small updates here and there. Mm-hmm. As you guys know, I'm a sneaker connoisseur. I don't know if I've talked about it here and there on the podcast, but I haven't gone in depth with it. So randomly got lucky last week, picked up a pair of Kobe Grinches, you know, a historic Kobe Nike sneaker. And then yesterday they announced that the Kobe partnership was ending. So I very well got there last minute, my first and only pair of Kobes that I can put up in the collection. And, you know, one day when I buy the mansion and have my little shoe collection, that'll be a nice little piece in there. And we got breaking news, all right?
Uh-oh.
This is good breaking news.
All right.
I like the switch up. I follow this web developer on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Not just any web developer. He's the CTO of Shopify.
Oh.
But he recently like said he was moving on. But he's the CTO of Shopify. He's always talking about sneaker culture. Basically, he's like, I got to beat these bots. Like, he's always trolling the bot creators. And it's like, yeah, good luck on this drop, boys. Like, we got some good protections and all this stuff. And this dude is an old-ass man, so it's kind of funny to follow him and see him, like, having banter. But I got my sneaker accounts got alerts on, and there was an alert that just said, he said, Manual Boys will be eating tomorrow on this this Jordan 3 release that I'm looking forward to. So I'm hoping – it sounds like they worked out a little deal. To secure some Manual dubs. So I'm very excited about that. Other than that, though, because I know half of y'all motherfuckers, probably more than 99% of y'all motherfuckers don't care about these sneakers. Had a call with a financial advisor today.
Okay.
Very interesting.
Like, you set it
financial.
Up?
Not really. Like, there's this app called Personal Capital. Or I think it's called Personal Capital. I downloaded the app, signed up for it, and it's kind of like another mint that helps you track your spending and like your investments and stuff like that. Signed up for it, and then they reached out and were like, hey, like you'll get free consulting, like just to talk about your portfolio. And like, usually I would just be like, nah, don't ever fucking contact me again. But I was like, you know, I'm feeling generous. I'll let your boy come and check out my portfolio. So I talked to him today. It was kind of nice. So, will I pay for the service? Absolutely not. It's a scam. I'm not paying for no asset management or no portfolio management or anything like that. But that was interesting. And then had a little couple picnics this weekend.
Ooh.
Jonathan with Amanda and her friends. Just like Angelique, it is Amanda's birthday coming up on the 22nd on Earth Day. So I'll update next week with updates on that.
Lit. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we'll see. Because we're also going to go get steak. So, and this steak, I've also looked at the menu, and the steak is also quite expensive. So, we'll see how the Seattle steak compares to the Chateau Laurent steak.
I'm sure it'll be leagues better.
We'll see. With that, we're 18 minutes in the damn show. So, let's get into the topic.
Yes, sir.
And this topic is spurring because recently I finished Ori and the Will of the Wisps. A game that was highly regarded as a game of the year contender last year. I finally got around to it, played it, beat it, and enjoyed it immensely. I think you have also, we've talked about this, you've also played it, beat it, right?
Yes, I have. Both of them.
Right, yeah. Same here. Played Ori last year and beat the second one just recently. So I wanted to talk about platformers. And for people at home that don't really know, can you describe what a platformer is?
Yeah, I think I can. I'll give it a little whack, you know. So a platformer game, I'd say, you know, doesn't necessarily have to be. I think traditionally it has been like the two-dimensional games, but more recently, actually, I won't even say more recently, it can also extend into the 3D space as well, where you're pretty much your player character has to jump, navigate, move through lots of movement techniques, move throughout a level in a way that it is not just, you know, very, like, you know, linear. I don't know, like, what's a good way to describe it? Not in a linear fashion, I guess. You know, you rely on jumping around. That is a core mechanic in the game. There are lots of platforms, hence the, you know, title platformer, that allow you to take different paths, access different, you know, areas of the map and whatnot. And it's just a different, I think there's just enough variability to this that it has earned its own title in the gaming space. You know, it's not just a jumping game or something like that. This is you have a platforming game or a platforming genre.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good description. So, with that being said, I want to kind of talk about what makes a good platformer, and as a result, what are some of our favorite platform games that we can think of, or what do we consider some of the best platformers out there? Because, you know, on surface level, I don't think I would consider myself like a platformer fan. I wouldn't say like platformers are some of my favorite genres, but when I think back on it, they very much are. Like, a lot of my favorite games, just over the past couple of years, have been platformers. And even, like, with It Takes Two, I would consider that to, you know, It Takes Two is different because it really does break the mold in terms of, like, traditional game design, and it really incorporates literally dozens of genres into this one game. But there's a lot of platforming aspects, including one particularly challenging platforming test that you can kind of get an achievement for in mid-game that we've talked about offline. I don't want to spoil it, but yeah. So in your opinion, what makes a good platformer, or like, what are you looking for a good for in a good platformer?
I think for me, I look for a game that kind of uses platforming as like the base of the game. You know, it doesn't, you know, it's not, that's not the whole feature of the game, I would guess. So I kind of like look to games that are like Metroidvanias, where that's like a different style of platform. It's like a certain style of platformer. So definitely something that is a bit more specialized in the field. You're not just jumping, you're also jumping and attacking, or you, if you're jumping around, there's something to do. While there's something to do with your jumping, so like, you, there might be a super secret little collectible item that's like tucked away in a corner. Now I need to use all the knowledge that I have about this game and how to jump and how to, you know, navigate, bounce off walls in order to get there. Those are things that I think you know, make a platformer successful. Something that are, these are just things that make the game feel, I don't know, like just fun. I don't know, like you feel involved in the game world.
Yeah, I'd say something similar. Like, I've, for example, let's take Ori, where a big reason I like Ori is because as you progress through the game and get abilities, it kind of starts to reveal how awesome the game design and level design is. I don't know what the correct word for that is, but the game design and level design work together in a way that really makes everything feel super smooth and makes you think, like, once you get to a certain point in the game, you can look back at all of the things that you maybe couldn't, you just couldn't reach, or some of the areas you've already been to, and you just kind of say, oh, wow, there's a completely new dimension to this level because I have this new ability, or because I know how to traverse in this new way. I think that's kind of what sets a lot of platformers above most. And also, I think maybe more specifically, looking at the abilities, just having cool abilities, because, you know, yeah, platforming is kind of like jumping to one platform or another, or, you know, hopping from wall to wall, all the traditional platforming elements. But I think the challenge there is, you know, providing your character with unique abilities to get around the world, just so it doesn't feel stale, so that you can present interesting and challenging puzzles with the abilities and stuff like that. So really nailing those things, I think, ends up making a good platformer.
Facts.
So, like, we'll kind of dive back into this a little bit, but let's just start off by talking about, like, some of your favorite platformers. And then as we talk about these games, we can kind of circle back to the idea of, like, what's making these games great? What's the secret sauce in a lot of these games?
Gotcha.
So I'll let you start off and throw out, like, throw me one of your favorite platformers.
Okay. You know, I feel like, you know, our lists are going to overlap a little bit here, because, yeah, you know, there's a couple of games that I think, you know, we just absolutely love and we've talked about a lot here on the podcast. So I'm going to start a bit, hopefully out, not in the overlap. So I'm going to start off with Beautiful Joe. You know, this is a game that I have talked about very recently. You know, I just keep bringing it back up just because I keep thinking about this game, right? Where I'm like, dang, I never got a chance to, I didn't own it growing up, and I've only been able to play it like through an emulator, and I still haven't finished it. But just something about this game just really set it apart from all the other platformers or all the other games in the genre. I feel like, you know, let me give a little story background to this game. You play as a guy named Joe. He goes to the movies with his girlfriend, and all of a sudden the movie villain reaches out, kidnaps his girlfriend, brings her into the movie world. He has to hop in and go and save his girlfriend. You know, typical
classic scenario,
damsel in distress scenario. But where this, and you're thinking, okay, yeah, you're gonna have to run, jump, blah blah blah, fight. You know, you're punching and kicking and whatnot. Typical platformer shit. But the place where they, where this game, like I guess, like shines, are the abilities that they present to you. So since you are in a movie, and I guess you are in control of, you know, whatever your powers are, you have all these like movie related powers. So you're able to fast forward, which, you know, makes your punches go like super fast, causing like various effects throughout the world, or various effects on your enemies. You can slow down time, which causes your attacks to like hit like twice as hard or something like that. But obviously, you know, your time is slowed down. You can also like dodge in like midair, like do all sorts of like crazy movie themed abilities. And I think that the I guess the creators of the game really stuck with that movie theme, and they were like, all right, bet, we're just gonna go all in, 100% full send it. And it worked perfectly, in my opinion. I'm like, dang, every one of these abilities felt like cool to use. It felt like and they also like give you lots of opportunities to where you would have to use these abilities, like certain enemies you would need to use this ability in order to better take them down or something like that. And yeah, man, like if you haven't seen gameplay footage of Beautiful Joe, I highly recommend it, just because it's one of those games where it's like you gotta see it to believe it. It's like me describing it almost like just doesn't even do it justice, just because that's how unique of a game it was back in the day when it came out. I think early 2000s, probably like around 2003 or something like that. And the reason why I keep talking about it, because I'm like, bro, we need something else like that, bro. I want something else that's like, you know, super innovative. I mean, I may just be, you know, completely you know, what's the, like having like my nostalgia goggles on, like, or something like that. Rose tinted glasses here, and I'm also maybe I'm like being blinded, and I can't see games nowadays that are just as amazing as this. But man, I want another game like Beautiful Joe to come out sometime soon. Give me that shit. Maybe somebody's working on it. If you're working on it, I'm giving you money right now. I promise you. I'll sign your Kickstarter, bro. I'll do it. I'll be in the highest tier.
I was literally thinking, like, I hope somebody remakes Beautiful Joe so you can just play it and realize that that game was dog shit.
Golly.
I'm just kidding. I don't know if it actually was dog shit, but I played it and I enjoyed it a lot. But I don't know. I think it was definitely wacky, weird. I think it was cool. And I kind of agree where I feel like developers don't really take risks like kind of like Beautiful Joe is. And it's kind of pretty much all up to the indies to make games like that these days,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of a bummer. But yeah, would Beautiful Joe, would a Beautiful Joe remake hold up today? I'm not sure.
I think it would. But I'm biased, so.
I mean, I'd 100% be down to, like, I would play it, but then they would drop it at $60, and I'd be like, maybe not. Maybe I won't play it.
But if it's on Game Pass, though.
That's a game changer.
That's a game changer.
Game changer.
For sure.
One of the, I think, GOAT platformers in recent memory is Celeste, in my opinion.
Mm.
Celeste, you're playing as this little 8-bit girl. Climbing this mountain. There's a lot of cool metaphors. I'm pretty sure we've done an episode on this game, and we've talked about kind of what we thought the game meant and kind of how meaningful we thought it was. But Celeste is a game that does platforming really well for a lot of specific reasons. I think Celeste is a game, and I completely forgot. Amanda played this game, and I'm pretty sure she beat it, which is crazy. But Celeste does a really good job at slowly introducing you into mechanics, slowly ramping up the difficulty as time goes on. And as a result, it really allows you to kind of enjoy the game while also feeling like you're challenged at every step of the way, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, by the end of the game, this game is incredibly hard, but they've adequately prepared you to get to that point. And like, as you're playing, you understand, like, if you die, you understand what happened and why you messed up, or you understand that you need to do a little more testing and experimenting to figure out how to get past the obstacle that you're facing. I think that's where kind of a lot of platformers fail, is as soon as a platformer becomes frustrating, not because of skill, but because something is just not right about the design of the level, like whether it's the platform spacing or kind of just like the variability of the timing that they require you to do, or like they require you to get something so perfect that it's almost frustrating and unfair of an ask from the player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like games fall apart super quickly when that happens. Like, and that's why it almost seems to me like, are there any okay platformers where we're like, yeah, this platformer was mid, the platforming in the game was mid, but it was a good game. Like, I think when thinking about platformers, like, you know, Banjo-Kazooie, Mario, Celeste, who knows what else we could name. Like, I feel like all of those games are iconic because the platforming was good and because the level of difficulty and the ramp up of skill was very good. Like, they're not, you know, some games aren't amazing because of other reasons, whether it's like the story or the writing or the level, like the level aesthetics or whatever, or the other gameplay mechanics. But I feel like having like very strong abilities and scaling that with the environment and the level design is crucial for like making or breaking a platforming game. And I feel like Celeste excels in that like tenfold.
Damn straight. I want to go back and play Celeste again, or at least, you know, do those like little B or C sides or whatever. Just say I've tried it.
They released the DLC, the Farewell, for free.
Ooh.
And I started playing that, and then I realized like, oh, you basically need to 100% the game to be able to complete the DLC.
Oh.
And I
was
like,
oh,
well, guess I will put this game back down.
Dang. Wait, like in order to access the stuff, or in order to be good enough to play?
To access the stuff.
Really? Oh.
I think there's like, you know, I don't know, like 5 locks or something, and I got maybe past 3 of the locks based off of how much, like how many of the collectibles I had gotten in the base game. But you need to collect, I don't even remember. It's not even, it may be strawberries, it may be some other thing, it may be doing the B-sides or the C-sides. But yeah, there's definitely some kind of blocker, which is kind of a bummer for a DLC.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's free, so.
Dang.
It is what it is.
We'll see. I'll consider it, I guess. Yeah, maybe it's not a definite pick back up just yet.
Yeah.
I guess you're done with Celeste.
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and bring us. I'm gonna take us back. You know, back to the. I guess I'm bringing up a lot of more classic games here. But first, I wanted to like preface this game by talking about Mario. You know, we've got Mario, okay. The Mario series, obviously. This is pretty much your first platformer here. And in the early or late 90s or whatever, when they introduced Mario 64, that completely changed the game. You know, now Mario no longer had to jump up and down. He could jump, you know, left and right, sideways, had backflips, had all these, you know, all these tools added to his arsenal that made the platforming experience just that much better. And I think it kind of like, you know, plays into that what you were talking about how it's up to the, I guess, like the game developers to really make that like platforming tight, you know, to make it like feel good in order to make the game fun. So for me, I wanted to bring in Mario Galaxy as one of my favorites that I played, you know.
Yes.
Partially because of the nostalgia that brought through. And also just because I just thought it was just a great game to play, you know, being able to run around different planets, you know, you don't have to, you're jumping in between planets, spinning around, all those fun things. And I don't think necessarily that the game or like the platforming itself was that innovative. You know, I think between Mario Sunshine and Mario Galaxy, all they did was kind of, they kept the same, you know, base Mario model, which I think all Mario games have, you know, your base, you know, jumping, you know, flipping around and whatnot. And then they added a spin function, ability to like teleport to places using stars. And then they just updated the power-ups. That was pretty much it. That's all they really needed to add in order to fill out this Super Mario Galaxy world. The reason why I think I like this one the best, even I might even say over Odyssey, it's just because, I don't know, man. Nostalgia? I guess that was the first Mario 3D platformer that I had the opportunity to play. I didn't have a GameCube or a 64, so this was my little first foray into 3D Mario, and it just has a special place in my heart. And I think a lot of people do like Mario Galaxy 1 and 2. I mean, damn, it was good enough to get a sequel, bro. Tell me, absolutely. Mario Sunshine don't have a sequel. Odyssey don't have a sequel. Come on now.
So I'm going to challenge you on that.
Go ahead.
Challenge you on what you said. I think that Mario Galaxy does a lot to innovate from Mario Sunshine. And I say that because I had the luxury of, you know, I got the Nintendo, the Mario collection before they assassinated him in broad daylight a couple of weeks back. And I played Sunshine, and then I immediately played Galaxy after that. Sunshine is fun, but it definitely doesn't hold up in modern times. A lot of the mechanics are clunky, and it does kind of, like, you know, especially for a Mario game, it's kind of shocking how many times it kind of rubs against that issue of, like, this just doesn't feel right. This just feels like it's not my fault. Mario's not controlling, like, right. And it's hard, but not hard for the right reasons. It's still a great game. I still beat it, and I had a good time playing it. But there was something kind of – there was a little bit of friction that I had as a player, like, playing that. I think Mario Galaxy absolutely kills it and basically – smooths all that friction out. Mario Galaxy, and playing it on the Switch in this Mario collection was my first time playing it. I highly suggest people pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I guess you can't, Dan. Oh, that's honestly ass. Go ahead and find a physical copy on eBay, but I highly suggest people play it because it felt really good. And Mario Galaxy excels because it's kind of one of those games that shit tells you, like, hey, it's okay, like, for a platformer to not be excruciatingly difficult. Like, platforming doesn't have to be like, the platforming in the game doesn't have to be terribly hard for the game to be fun. And you know, there are some, you know, somewhat challenging sections in the game if you're trying to, like, get all the stars or get all the, like, whatever, you know, playing through the game, but for the most part it's fairly simple. You can run through it, but I feel like it's not really storytelling, but like you were saying, jumping through from planet to planet, like the gravity switching up, like the just how they use the concept of space to kind of freshen up the mechanics and kind of like send you on these fun little rides of like, oh, like I'm like flying through space because of this gravity. I'm drifting through planet to planet. Like everything's kind of changing up.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like brand new. It feels like they completely took the idea of Mario from Sunshine, from 64, and completely flipped it on its head. And that's kind of the same thing that happened with Sunshine. Like, they gave the man a damn jetpack. The game was, and put him on an open world island, and the game was kind of completely different.
Right.
But there's just a level of polish on Mario Galaxy that's above and beyond, where you're just having a good time the whole way through. You like, I very rarely felt frustrated. I agree with you. It is like one of the greatest platformers. Even me saying this, playing the game last year, even though it's, you know, I don't know, more than a decade old or something like that, I guess. I don't know if that's true. I don't know when it came out, but
it's more than a decade. Yeah. It's like 14.
Yeah. It completely holds up. It feels super well polished, and the platforming focuses on fun more than challenge, which I completely appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
Another game I wanted to pull up is Hollow Knight. Hollow Knight, perfect. Which is a Metroidvania. It's almost, you know, it's not a boss rush. Like, it's a genre of its own. Like, it's kind of like a Souls-like. It's a platformer. It's a Metroidvania. It has all these different genres that you can attach to it. But specifically looking at it as a platformer, Hollow Knight kind of, it's not overtly a platformer, but it constantly, like, sticks around and reminds you, hey, look, we're going to add platforming challenges here for you. Like, hey, we're going to keep these things interesting. It's not all about the bosses. It's not all about, you know, surviving the enemies or keeping your shells or souls or whatever you're collecting in that game. Hey, look, like, we're still a platformer. Like, it constantly reminds you that throughout the game until you get to like some of the in-game content where I forgot what the level's called, but it's like a shit ton of buzzsaws or something, right? Like
White Palace,
to where they build up to this point where it's like, hey, look, we take pride in our platforming mechanics, and we're going to put you to the test with these mechanics because we feel confident that, you know, we can provide, you know, crazy skill challenges in this game, which I thought was pretty cool. So I appreciate Hollow Knight for that, because it does so many things and it you know, lives in so many genres that it does very well. But at the same time, it kind of also never forgets that it's a platformer. It stays very challenging, especially when you add on the fact that you need to dodge and fight enemies at the same time. And that's why I think it definitely deserves a place on like one of the greatest platformers list.
10 out of 10. Couldn't have said it better myself. I guess now it's back to me. I'm going to keep it in the same Metroidvania, you know, I guess like, and Souls like genre that you've introduced us to here. And I'm going to bring up Blasphemous, man. Another, literally, like I said, Metroidvania Souls like game. With a pretty heavy emphasis on platforming, trying to get from point A to point B. But I think there was a bit more, you know, as Hollow Knight leaned into the platforming more than the combat, and combat was still very important in Hollow Knight, but it definitely, I think, leaned more into platforming. Blasphemous, on the other hand, leaned a lot more into the combat. It was could be at times a very technical game, with you having to focus on parrying, using your abilities, and, you know, also beating the shit out of different enemies. It also had that same, like, you know, boss rushy feel to it, where the bosses were like, you know, large epic creatures that you needed to slay in order to get to your next point. And it was just a great time. Once again, another game that I did not beat, made it to the final boss. It's in the Sekiro Club. Made it to the final boss, could not beat the final boss, put the game down. I think I tried to pick it back up like a month after it, and I was like, dang, bro, I don't know if I can. I've even watched the gameplay footage of people beating the final boss, and I'm like, bro, it looks so easy. And that's the worst part about it too, because it's like, it looks so doable, but for some reason I just couldn't, you know, you know how sometimes you're playing with the controller, you're just like, I can't get this one move right, or you can't hit this one little thing that I need to be hitting in order to progress through the boss battle. And that's just what was happening to me, man. I wasn't able to beat it. But, you know, it's on the Sekiro list. We're going to have a redemption victory lap one day, one of these days, where I will go back through and beat this game. But, yeah, Blasphemous, masterpiece of a game. It also had its own free DLC that dropped that that I would like to play, hopefully, after I beat the game. But I recommend it to you. I think I've mentioned it in the past. I think it would be up your alley, because it does kind of, okay, since you, I know you liked Sekiro, and I know you liked Hollow Knight. I think it will be good for you.
Okay. Maybe I'll put it on the list. I know that art style, I'm like, I don't know.
The pixel, yeah, I get it. I know the pixely.
You're doing too much.
And they really, it's like, what is the... I'm trying to think what that, not the, I know obviously there's the pixel art style, but like the actual Victorian art. No, it's older than
gothic.
Maybe like gothic horror style, where everything is just like bloody and it looks all religious, bloody and religious.
Reminds me of Scorn, or what's the name of that Scorn, game? Scorn, yeah. Alien, yeah. PP.
That is Scorn. Don't put it on Scorn levels, bro. That's a bit too far.
That's different. That's different.
It's like halfway to Scorn, I'd say.
So I'll have some honorable mentions here. I have one more that I want to talk about, but some honorable mentions. Spyro, I think a classic platformer. Like the fact that they added gliding in there, and they just make it work perfectly with kind of the platforming and kind of the puzzle solving and all the different stuff they add in that game. I love how Spyro kind of paved the way for 3D platformers. You said Mario, Hollow Knight. Limbo is something that I don't know if I would classify Limbo as a damn platformer, but Google said it was a platformer. So I put it on this list. But honestly, take that shit off my honorable mentions.
Golly.
Not sure that's a
why even mention it. Damn,
that's true. I should have took it off the list. Honestly, that's my fault. But now, got to get dragged through the streets in public. Sorry, Limbo.
Tragic.
So I guess, yeah, just Spyro. But you know, I'm coming with a trick play here. Last minute, you know, adjustment. My last platformer, and this is a controversial because I know this isn't even classified as a platformer by anybody, but I'm going to say Assassin's Creed. Like, ooh, early Assassin's Creed games. Of course, like, it's an open world, like, RPG. But I feel like Assassin's Creed was really kind of a genre-defining game for, like, a character doing open world parkour, like, scaling, basically scaling any building in the game. They basically pioneered that. And especially in the original Assassin's Creed games, we're talking like Assassin's Creed 1, 2, 3, and all of the related titles associated with them. There were a lot of cool little scaling challenges where you had to scale a building. You had to jump from, you know, perch to perch to get to this really high up place or this really obscure location to get a collectible and stuff. And there were a lot of those. So in addition to the RPG aspect, the cool like stealth aspects of the game, Ubisoft really did put in a good amount of effort and a good quality of effort to make sure that the map was entirely scalable, that there was really value in the traversal and verticality of the open world maps and stuff. And I feel like you really gotta, that can't be understated. You gotta give the original Assassin's Creed their props on that one. So shout out to Assassin's Creed one time.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I guess I'll go through a little honorable mentions as well. We'll start off with Cuphead, a game that, you know, is notoriously known for having difficult bosses, also known for having difficult platforming sections as well. I think those platforming sections in Cuphead, bro,
those platforms, they
put the hair on your chest, bro, for sure, because they're, I think not all of them are auto-scrolling. Well, are any of them auto-scrolling?
No,
they're not auto-scrolling, but they do. I think most of them have some sections that are auto-scrolling that also, you know, are just a pain in the ass. But just the fact that they're a pain in the ass, you know, that just kind of, like, cements it as one of those, like, you know, iconic platforming games, in my opinion. And then I think there's enough platforming that goes on within the boss battles as well that, you know, can help it fall into that category. So shout out to Cuphead in that regard.
Wait. Oh, go ahead. I just want to say real quick, I saw on Google they were saying Cuphead was a platforming game. First of all, I personally wouldn't consider Cuphead a platforming game, even though it does have crazy platforming levels. Fuck those platforming levels. The first time I ever played Cuphead, it was in your dorm. We played co-op on those platforming levels.
Shit,
and I said, bro, I would never play that fucking game. I said I would never buy that fucking dumbass game because I was like, what is this bullshit platforming? And then it came to Switch and I bought it and I beat it. So
hell yeah.
That's that. But even to this day, even though I beat the game, fuck those platforming levels. I hate them.
They are on some bullshit.
Please go on.
So next up, SteamWorld Dig. Those two games in that franchise, you know, I think it also technically falls into the Metroidvania category, I think, which also is considered by Wikipedia to be called the platform adventure game series. It definitely fits right in, man, because, you know, you're a little robot trying to make your way through the big underground. You're digging, you're jumping, you're shooting. What else? You're trying to solve the mystery of what's going on with the town in the first game. So, I think it fully captures what it means to be a platformer or also an adventure game. Or, I guess, just a Metroidvania. I think that's the easy way to say it. I think it fully captures what it means to be a Metroidvania. And they did a great job with both the first and second games. So, shout out to SteamWorld Dig on that. And my last game kind of didn't really have a last, like, I'm kind of, you know, on the fence about what I want to say here, but I think I might have to give it to him because it was one of the ones that I just saw most recently. I got to give it to Mr. Guacamelee. Guacamelee 1 and 2, a fan favorite, and by fan, I mean me. I am the fan. I just thought that those two games were... Even better than a SteamWorld Dig at capturing what a Metroidvania is, because the adventure that you go on throughout Guacamelee, it's just a fun story that's being told. You get a lot of fun abilities. These are kind of, you know, some of the things that we have mentioned as what make the platforming genre what make them special. And I think that Guacamelee definitely deserves to, you know, round out my list here.
Is Guacamelee on Game Pass?
The second one might be, question mark. I don't know if it might be, you know, one of those things where it's like, oh, it's only on Xbox game, like Game Pass on the Xbox console or on PC. But I think
maybe. Let me look it up real quick.
Let's see what we got.
Because, yeah, for, you know, a lot of people have been talking about Drinkbox since they announced their newest title. And you've talked about Guacamelee for a while. Might be time for me to give it a try.
It's time, bro. I've been talking about Guacamelee since the first one came out. So the first, or Guacamelee 2, is on Game Pass. But I do recommend you. You should play through Guacamelee 1 first.
Okay.
Should definitely be for cheap now.
How do you spell this shit?
It's like guacamole, but not guacamole.
Yeah, I got you, guaca. Melee Xbox. Let me see how much it costs.
It is 15. It looks like it's 15 at different places, but it probably goes on sale.
Yeah, $15. I'm not gonna lie to y'all. Xbox, Phil Spencer. I'm talking to you, bro. What is this? $15, bro. How long this game been out? We still charging $15 for this?
I know, right? Come on, man.
Come on, Phil. Philip Spencer, come on.
He's really doing you dirty. And
show me some respect. But, you know, I'll wait until it comes on sale. Give it to me for 10. Give it to me for 5. Damn, it been out since goddamn 2013.
I think I got it. I got it twice, honestly. That's how much I like the first one.
You said what?
I got it twice.
Oh, you bought it twice. Okay, maybe I'll pay the damn 15. But, yeah, that's cool. I'm a sucker for the abilities. Like, whenever you get cool abilities and progress through the level, and you like new abilities, like especially in Ori 2, I just felt like every new ability, I'm like, oh man, I am just getting a step closer to godliness. Where, you know, every new ability, I felt like, oh no, they shouldn't have gave me this. They fucked up because I'm about to cause some havoc. So I'm excited. I'll play it sometime this year. I promise you that.
Also, you get to suplex people. So, I mean, come on now.
That's a good thing. I like suplexing. All right, guys. So, I guess, do you have anything else?
Nah, I think I'm all wrapped up and tapped up. You feel me?
Nice. I wonder what's in store for platformers this year. Is Super Lucky's Tale a platformer? Have you been following that game?
I don't follow it. I know of its existence, but I'm like 90% sure that it is.
Oh, no. This is not. Super Lucky's Tale already exists. It's out.
Yeah.
There's one game coming out on the Xbox with like a little fox.
Oh, you saw, I saw somebody playing that today. Kaze and the Wild Masks.
Game. Say it again?
Kaze and the Wild Masks.
No, it's not out. Tunic, that's what it's called. It's not out yet.
Tunic. Oh, okay, gotcha.
It's still, I think it's close to coming out. I don't know if it's a platformer, though.
Action adventure?
It doesn't say it's a platformer, but
it looks like it might be in the Zelda realm.
Yeah. Anyways. Let's wrap it up here, guys. If you guys enjoyed this episode, go ahead and goddamn give us a good old review on iTunes. It's a shame that other platforms don't have like a review system, but you know, review us on iTunes. iTunes is the biggest podcast provider, so show us some love there, leave a comment, all that stuff. Thank you guys for listening to Player Player. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe to us on your podcasting platform of choice. Rate us 5 stars on iTunes, like I just asked, and tell your friends about us. If you want updates about future episodes or giveaways, or you want to submit a question to the show, you can visit playerplayerpod.com or follow us on social media at playerplayerpod. You guys can also join the Discord, give suggestions for the show, all that good stuff. You go to playerplayerpod.com/Discord. You'll get an invite for the channel. You guys can come and have a good time there. Also, if you guys want to help support the show, you guys can go to playerplayerpod.com. Scroll to the bottom of the page. You will see a coffee cup. That's our Ko-fi link, which you can donate to help support costs for the show, or just, you know, help out, buy some snacks or whatever. Big shout out to the boy, Aaron Miller, for the intro music. As always, you can follow him at The Miller Child on Instagram. I don't know if I said this already, but you can find us at PlayerPlayerPod on Twitter. You can find me on social media as The Hoop Man on everything, where the E is a 3. And you can find my co-host Arsene here as Pax Arsenica on Twitter and Twitch, and Arsene Lakpa on Instagram. And are you planning on streaming this week, the day this episode drops?
Yep, I'll be there. What am I playing this week? I think we're still going to keep going with Persona 5 Strikers for now. It's kind of a slow start. I'm hoping that I'll be able to keep the interest, you know, of the masses as we work through it. Okay. 'Cause it is very much like the original Persona, where, you know, you're sitting, you're talking, you're just talking long time. So, you know, we may have to switch up the game, but we'll see.
All right, guys. Well, if you guys join the Discord, you guys will be alerted to when Arsene is streaming, so you guys can tune into that. Otherwise, until next time, guys, keep gaming.
Game on, folks.